your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Friday, July 3rd, 2020. Today, across the country, apparently, is a day that a lot of people observe as a holiday. You know, and I did not realize that people observe the 4th of July on the 3rd of July if it ends up on a Friday. I found that out because my radio station, ESPN Central Texas, we're actually off today. We're not working, and it's really, really strange for me because, well, I'm a worker. I'm a dude who works all the time, really rarely ever really acknowledges holidays as far as on the air, because there's always stuff to talk about as far as sports goes. But today at ESPN Central Texas, we're shutting on things down, and apparently a lot of people observe the 3rd of July if it falls on a Friday before the 4th of July. But either way, it is what it is. So hopefully if you're able to take today off, you're still able to enjoy this show, and you're able to hear it on your regular routine, and like I said, enjoy it, take it in. Either way, it is all good. If not, maybe you'll catch up on it at a later date. But today is Friday, July 3rd, 2020, 4th of July coming up on tomorrow, which is Saturday. So we're here with you. I think we're going to have a really good show. I think it's going to be a very, very exciting show. Matter of fact, I'm pumped up about it. Coming up on the show in segment number three, your calls, your texts, and I even got a tweet that I want to share with you. The Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, you know the number by now, 707-654-4693. And you can hit me on Twitter at yourboyq254 and send me a message. And sometimes I'm able to get those messages on the show. And today, I will be able to do that. Coming up in segment number two, Thursday evening, I had a really good conversation with MJ Acosta from NFL Network. You can find her on Twitter at MJ Acosta TV. Does a really, really good job covering the NFL, but she really locks in and covers the 49ers and the Raiders like a glove. And so I got an opportunity to talk to her about not only the NFL, not only the Raiders, but also talking to her about the 4th of July and what it means to her and her fiance, who is a member of the Marines. She just got engaged right after the Super Bowl, and she's a really, really cool person, man. So I'm very, very happy for her. Hope that she has all the happiness in the world. But yeah, very excited to talk to her and just kind of get her thoughts and pick her brain on what the 4th of July means to her, what those conversations are like in her household with the Marine who's fought for this country, who's been there on the front lines for this country. I always say on the podcast, and if you're a new booty, maybe you don't know, but I always say that we got to respect our veterans. We got to support our active military. We got to support those families, the people that are sacrificing for the good of our country. I don't ever want that to go and not be recognized. You know what I mean? It's easy to say, oh, it's the 4th of July. Let's go pop off some fireworks and let's have a barbecue and let's hang out with the family. But remember, don't ever forget what the day means. And as bad as things may get at sometimes in the country, we still live in an awesome, amazing country. And we've had some really, really great people help get us to where we are right now in this country. And so that's the armed forces, from the Navy to the Marines, to the Army, the Air Force, everybody. Thankful for the armed forces and what they've been able to do in this country. So that conversation with MJ Acosta is coming up in segment number two. Really, really good conversation. Here in segment number one, I give you the news and the notes of the day, kind of how they circulate around the NFL. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Right about now, my guy Mick Akers from Las Vegas Review Journal, he said on Twitter that the stadium is 98% complete. He said Allegiant Stadium sits at 98% complete with 29 days left until its July 31st substantial completion date. Obviously, he put this out on Thursday, but the reason I bring this up because is that's what I expected. I expected, okay, the stadium's just about done. July 31st is the completion date. It's going to be done, no doubt about that. Well, a tweet from Las Vegas locally put out that Allegiant Allegiant Stadium is less than 85% complete, according to people working on the project. There's almost no way it'll be 100% complete by July 31st. And then they doubled down and said, look, this is not an attack on Mick Akers. He gets official, in quotation marks, official numbers from the Raiders and the stadium developer, who have a vested interest in making sure a publicly funded $2 billion stadium looks like it's on track. So there's a little bit of discrepancy right there. Mick Akers is saying, and this is what he gets from the team, that it's 98% complete, while Las Vegas locally says it's less than 85% complete, and there's no way it's going to get done on time by July 31st. So, I mean, I know right now, again, it's July 3rd. We're at a wait-and-see type of situation. I know that it looks like it's really getting close to being complete, but I'm not on the inside. I don't know every single little in and out that they got to get done. I'm not that guy. And look, Mick is getting his numbers from the team, so whatever they're telling him is what he's reporting, but there's a little bit of controversy in how far and how complete Allegiant Stadium is. Again, I don't think there's going to be any problem for the 2020 season. I'm sure that they'll be able to kick that thing off without any kind of issues or any kind of hiccups. But just interesting that it's so much of a difference as far as reporting how complete it is. Mick Akers and the Raiders are saying 98%, and Las Vegas locally is saying less than 85. That's a pretty substantial difference. Another piece of news I wanted to bring to the table, also from my guy Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's talking about payment plan options for Allegiant Stadium. Again, we have no idea what's going to go on as far as fans in the stands, and a lot of people have already bought tickets. Matter of fact, the season tickets are already sold out at Allegiant Stadium. Really, there's no places. There's no room in the den. You know what I mean? Like, if this is the book of Jesus, the story of Jesus, there's no room in the den. The Allegiant Stadium is pretty much packed out, but people are still on payment plans. People are still, making payments on their season tickets. So the Raiders put out a statement on Thursday saying those who are on a payment plan for Raiders season tickets are not being required to make the final payment for 2020 as planned. But this is the official statement that the Raiders put out. Dear, fill in your name, we hope this email finds you and your family well. In light of the uncertainty surrounding the 2020 Las Vegas Raiders season, your previously scheduled season ticket payment on July 3rd has again been delayed. No action is required on your part at this time. Thank you and go Raiders. I'll tell you what, those are the kind of emails I like. No action is required on your part at this time, especially when it comes to money, especially when it comes to payments. But the Raiders have now pushed it back for the third time, and who knows when the next time will be, if they push it back or if they just say, you know what, there's going to be a refund coming your way, or we'll roll that thing over till next year. And that's what my buddy John Smith is, a season ticket holder for the Texans. His seats are actually $16,000 a year, and he told me that they're not refunding his money. They've given the option, but they also say, we'll just roll it over till next year and you can still have the tickets, because there's a big long waiting list for the tickets. So if he gets his money back, then all of a sudden he loses his seats. So to hold on to those seats and not end up giving them up, he's got to roll it over till 2021, and that's what he's choosing to do. So that may be something that the Raiders choose to do if push comes to shove, but we'll see. My final piece of news that I want to bring to the table for this Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday, July 3rd, 2020, has to do with John McClain. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, talk about him quite a bit. He was actually on my radio show on Thursday because, well, we're not doing a radio show today. And normally he's on today at 12:30 Central Time, but pushed him up a day because, like I said, we didn't have a radio show and I don't want to miss out on talking to John McClain. So asked him a lot of questions. We had about a 10 to 15 minute conversation with him. He's really, really good covering the whole landscape of the NFL. But a couple questions that we asked, one was his thoughts on fans in the stands and having to sign a waiver to get into the game. Did he think that that was going to be something that got pushed through? And what did he think of just the initial thought? Here's John McClain on fans in the stands having to sign a waiver.
I don't know why any fan in his right mind would go to a game under the circumstances we have, especially in Texas and Florida and Arizona, where we have record number of COVID-19 cases every day until there's a vaccine. There's a great story I saw on the internet this morning about some independent baseball league in Texas and Louisiana, and they're supposedly social distancing, and they were averaging like 1,200 to 1,500 in attendance. And I'm thinking, man, oh, man, why do you put yourself in that situation? But if there are any fans, I expect it to be a small number. I know there's no way the stadium is going to be sold out. I don't think there's any way they'll be half full, maybe like AT&T Stadium, but they have 25,000 fans. They could not have anybody close to them. You know, is it worth going to a game? You got to wear a mask the whole time, show it up a certain time, go to the bathroom, designated bathrooms a certain time, leave at a certain time. You know, give me a big flat screen TV.
So there's John McClain right there. I mean, he really even never even got into the conversation of the waivers. He's like, I don't even know why you'd want to go to the game, period. You know, and look, this is something I'll say, and I've brought his sound bites to the show before. He's been very down on the NFL all offseason long, trying to move forward, trying to get in as much as possible with this COVID-19. Look, he's an older dude, and he kind of knows what's going on. He's in Houston. That's a hotbed. He's seeing a lot of people come down with COVID-19, so he's very, very cautious. But you heard what he said right there, man. Give me a big screen TV, a flat screen TV. I'm good. And I get it. I think a lot of people are going to feel the same way. Why spend all that money? Why take a chance? Why have to sign a waiver? It's something that I kind of talked about on Thursday's show. Like, if you have to sign a waiver to go to a game in 2020, you might just want to go ahead and stay home. If you don't have to be there, you might not want to. I get it in Allegiant Stadium because it's brand new and a lot of people are going to want to be there and take it in. And I, for one, would love to be there. I'd love to be there all season long and say I was there for every single game. But again, I get it. I absolutely get it. So attendance is obviously going to be very strange around the NFL in 2020, to say the very least. But I understand where he's coming from. If you ain't got to be there, why? Why risk it if you don't have to? So the final soundbite that I wanted to bring to you from John McClain and his radio visit that he had with us on Thursday, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, was about the tarps. The tarps that have been approved by the NFL to be on the first 8 rows of the stadium for advertising. A lot of folks, including myself, are saluting Mark Davis for voting against that. But we all know that they're trying to get revenue and they're trying to produce revenue and make up for the revenue they're going to lose by fans not being there, by parking, by concessions. There's a lot of money that could be lost in the NFL. So they're trying to find a way to make up for it. So tarping off the first 8 rows of the stadium for advertising is the way that the NFL has approved of it. What are John McClain's thoughts?
I think that's great, and the players should love it because the owners are going to lose money if they can't have fans and get the concessions and the parking. So they can put ads on there to help them offset that loss, because if they lose money, players are going to lose money. Whether it's this season or the salary cap next year, they should let them put ads on their uniforms like they've got the Nike swoosh. They've got to do things to help offset the financial losses they're going to suffer because of the coronavirus pandemic.
So there's John McClain's thoughts on tarping off the first 8 rows of each stadium in the NFL, selling it to advertising. And look, he's not worried about, you know, fans being there. He's not worried about who's going to get to see the games. He's not worried about fans that have already bought tickets. He's just thinking about from the advertising side of things and how teams can make up the revenue that they're going to lose. And so he's saying that that's a really good thing. And look, I get it. I absolutely get it. I know it's all about revenue. It's all about money. It's always about the dollar, the almighty dollar. It's what it is. No matter what they tell you, it is always about the dollar. You could always go back no matter what they say. If it's a holdout, if it's a trade me, if it's anything that's going on in the NFL, it always goes back to the almighty dollar. So that's what he's saying. It's a good thing because they're trying to find ways to get revenue when they're going to lose a lot of revenue. And that's going to help the players later. It's going to help the teams later. It's going to help a lot of things later. But again, as a fan, from a fan's point of view, it stinks. You know what I mean? And that's why a lot of people have been saluting Mark Davis, including myself, have been saluting Mark Davis for saying, nah, I don't like that. It's not a very good idea. And remember, the first year in Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, of course, Mark Davis is going to want everybody that he can get in that stadium. So anyway, that was just what I wanted to share with you. That was John McClain. He visited with us on the radio station on Thursday at 12:30 Central Time, talking all things NFL. That's all I got for you. Coming up next, MJ Acosta from the NFL Network. She shares her thoughts on the 4th of July, her fiance's thoughts on the 4th of July, talking about what's going on in the country, talks about the NFL as a whole, talks about the Raiders in general. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff coming up in segment number 2, my conversation with MJ Acosta. Before I get into that, I got to tell you about rockauto.com and how they're a family business. I've been telling you that for a while, right? They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. All you got to do is go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything: engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, carpet. It doesn't matter. You got a car that's old school. Maybe you got one that you roll out of the garage on Sunday and just kind of cruise it around the block. Or maybe you got a car that you drive to work each and every day and you're looking to replace it and you need some extra parts for it. You want to shine it up a little bit, maybe get a little bit more on your trade-in. RockAuto.com is the place to go for you. All you need to do is click on it, and in a few easy clicks, you'll know exactly what you need, exactly what you want, and it'll get delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is super, super easy to navigate. It's unique. They got all the parts available for your car. All you got to do is choose the brand, specifications, and most importantly, the prices you prefer. That's right, the prices you prefer. They are the exact same for professionals as they are for do-it-yourselfers. So my guy, Paul, who's got his own spot, Valvoline Express Care Waco, that's where he's got. It's 833 North Valley Mills Drive, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 6, Saturday, 8 to 5. Yeah, I've said that a couple times before, right? Yeah, my guy, Paul, he's got his own spot. So whatever he calls up and gets, whatever price he gets, is the same price that I can get when I click online on rockauto.com and look for the same part. Whatever he gets, I get. So basically, I'm a professional. I think I'm a professional because he's a professional and we're on the same page. Yeah, probably not. Anyway, go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or truck right now. When you're there, make sure you're right, locked on in how did you hear about us so they know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And check out all the selection. Check out the low prices. All the parts your car is ever going to need at rockauto.com. Segment number two, my conversation with MJ Acosta. That's up next.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Joining me now on the phone lines to talk some Raiders football, but, you know, also a little this and that is a good friend of the show, MJ Acosta from NFL Network. You can find her on Twitter at MJ Acosta TV. And thank you so much for your time. Of course, I want to get to some Raiders football, but, you know, the 4th of July is coming up on Saturday. It's one, it's Al Davis's birthday, but it's also, more importantly, it's Independence Day in our country. And I know recently you announced that, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was right after the Super Bowl, you announced that you were engaged and your fiance is a Marine, right?
Yes, correct.
That's awesome. So first of all, congratulations on your engagement. That's great. Myself,
thank you.
Yes, myself and Raider Nation, we definitely want to wish you guys nothing but success and happiness. But when this holiday weekend comes up, you know, when a lot of folks are out barbecuing, they're just having their fun. They're having family come over, hang out. I know it's a pandemic. It's a little bit different, but it has a different meaning for you guys. And it has a different meaning for your fiance, obviously, who's served this country. So when you think of the 4th of July, what runs through your mind?
You know, it's always been an interesting holiday, right? It was even at the beginning of like our relationship, it was one of the few times in the year, wherever he was in the world, where we could sort of link up. But, you know, the conversations we've had in our household, you know, myself as a Black woman, a Black Latina, he's Latino as well. I feel like the holiday this year for everyone, especially for our Black and Brown brothers and sisters, it's different. It hits a little different this year, right? You know, we celebrated Juneteenth hard and heavy,
right,
this
right.
year more so, something that we had observed beforehand, just with our history. But I think the importance of recognizing what Black people have done for this country from the jump, from the very beginning, it's like 4th of July, Independence Day, part deux, if you will, part two,
right.
Now in the 4th of July. And it's important that this year, for me personally, I can only speak for myself, when we look at this holiday, I look at what is coming, what this country is on the precipice on. You know, all of us just fighting against social injustice, against racism, and for equality. And so that's what I'm going to be thinking about and what we're thinking about in this household this year. Like, look at all we've done collectively as a Black community in, first of all, for eons, but specifically, you know, over the last couple of months, it's powerful. It feels different. It feels more direct. And I feel like it has touched a lot more people even outside of the Black community. So it's definitely a bigger sentiment this year when I think of Independence Day.
Do you think that it's touched more people than just in the Black community because of the pandemic and everyone's basically stuck at home?
100%. I mean, people have had no choice, but to sit and really reflect, do self-reflection. My hope is that a lot more people are doing self-evaluations and educating themselves on what they don't know about Black history and the importance of the Black community, and how Black people literally built this country. And so it's sort of that situation where the conversations are painful and the conversations are uncomfortable, and people have had to sit in that uncomfortableness. But that's the point.
Right.
Without that, you don't grow. And so it's sort of one of those double-edged swords where, like, man, this pandemic is horrific, but it has really, really focused the lens for a lot of people. And I hope it does so for a lot more.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And look, I know you've been super busy. You've been doing, I mean, everything from this, that, and the other. I mean, you've been all over the place doing a really, really great job. But when you have that moment to kind of sit back and look back and you think about this country, and even though there's issues, even though there's a lot of things going on that we'd like to be better, it's still a really, really good country. How proud of you are you of your fiance when you think about him standing up for this great country?
Oh, always, always. And I think that when people think of that, you know, it's a sense of pride that goes so far beyond a uniform or a job or anything like that. It's really like what runs through our veins, like sort of that deeper level of understanding of what the context of freedom in this in this country means, and how many people to this day truly don't live as free as they should be and as equal as they should be. So the sense of pride runs deep, and you know, we make sure that from the inside out here in our family and in our household as well, that that we're fighting for that equality as well.
Yeah, it's really, really awesome, and it's a really good feeling. Talking right now with MJ Acosta from NFL Network at MJ Acosta TV on Twitter. And I know you've been, like I mentioned, busy. You've been hosting a lot of forums. You were hosting a lot of forums during Pride Month. I thought that that was really cool as well. Is there anything that you took away from that when you were doing those series on NFL Network that almost kind of opened your eyes to some feelings and how other players across the league and other people across the NFL are feeling?
Yeah, I think it was just a point of reflection where there's so many of us who still need to be heard, who want to share their stories, who want to share their experiences and their points of view, and to be able to have a platform in which it brings together, you know, the intersectionality of not only the LGBTQ community, the Black community, the minority community. I mean, it all overlaps in one way or another, and. So it's been, you know, I couldn't have told you that 5 years ago or 10 years ago, certainly right. not, that we would have been, we had a panel of like openly gay players talking about it. Certainly they're not active in the league at the moment, but still that's huge. That's right. monumental. And the hope is that other, you know, others coming up who are struggling maybe internally with sort of living and speaking their truth can find some camaraderie in that and feel more empowered to do so. And the same with, of course, our social justice and anti-racism discussions. Those have been leading the forefront. You know, myself, my amazing colleagues, Steve Weich and Jim Trotter and other folks throughout the NFL community, as you know, the predominant amount of players in the league are Black. So right. it's been great to be able to speak with players as well who have been out there and protesting, and seeing the new wave of players in the league as well step up. And say that they're not going to stand for this.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's given everyone a little bit more courage and a little bit more confidence in speaking up as well. And I know I've had my opportunity to go ahead and speak out, and that's something that we normally didn't do back in the day. We just kind of right. sat there and took it, you know, but
yeah.
it totally feels different. Like, hey, you know what? You got a platform, go ahead and speak on it. So that's what we've really been doing. And now let me turn my attention real quick to the NFL and this upcoming year. And well, we know that it, you know, the pandemic's been going on. So there's been no off season. There's been no OTAs, no rookie mini camp. July 28th is when camp is supposed to open up for a training camp. But I mean, what's your gut feeling when it comes to the NFL season? How do you think, you know, it's going to shake out? Do you think that it's actually going to get a full 16 games in, or do you think we're going to get, you know, a little bit of pause in the action?
Man, I hope we do get a full 16 in playoffs and Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, that's at this point, like, it's really tough to sort of see that far in advance, right? When we don't even know what's going to happen next week. Like today things changed, you know, with restrictions and more like lockdown procedures happening here in California. So my hope is, and what we're continuing to do is just prepare to have the season start as planned until we hear otherwise. So I'm holding on to that little nugget of hope for dear life, because right. I think we all collectively just really sort of want that, that moment where we can, even if there's no fans in the stands, but everybody to gather around and to watch this game that we love so much. I think it's going to be a really big tipping point in what has been a crazy 2020.
Yeah, it really has. It's been unbelievable. And I thought it was going to be a great 2020 because the Super Bowl was in Miami. I mean, I saw you there in Miami. You know, I thought,
yes,
great way to start the season, great way to start the year. And well, not so much. Right. So it's been crazy. Let me ask you about this, though. Do you think that this will be a season that is more veteran heavy, where the veterans are going to actually be relied on more than the upcoming guys, the new rookies, just because they haven't had the normal offseason that they usually do?
Right. I mean, for sure. I think leadership within every locker room is going to be paramount because it's all about reps. You know, the guys right. who haven't had those reps, who don't know what it feels like to step out on that field, who don't know what it's like to go up against, you know, another NFL team. It's difficult. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a learning curve. It's just different, totally. And for some guys, it's easier than others, but especially because they have been apart completely for so long, save for the few, you know, individual workouts, the groups getting together, you just can't replicate that game day atmosphere, that game day pace. So I think it's really going to show sort of the level of athleticism from the younger group. And beyond that, their football IQ and how quickly they can pick up a playbook. I mean, if ever there's been a challenge, you know, for rookies to rise to the occasion, it's this one for sure. But everyone, I mean, everyone is sort of in the same boat in this sense. But those veterans, those team leaders, those locker room leaders we hear about will be so much more needed this year than ever before.
Talking right now with MJ Acosta from the NFL Network at MJ Acosta TV on Twitter. And we've talked about Derek Carr multiple times, and you cover the whole league, but you cover the Raiders like a glove. You cover the 49ers like a glove. And we've talked about Derek Carr, and, you know, one, we talked before in the past if he was going to make it to Vegas or not. Well, here we are in 2020. He's in Vegas. How important do you think it'll be, and how much of an advantage do you think he'll have this year since he is a three-year veteran under John Gruden, since he has been there, done that, and because this offseason is so strange that he, to me, feels like he has the upper hand going into this season?
I agree with you. I mean, the fact that he knows this playbook, he already has sort of that rhythm and that relationship with Gruden and his coaching style and what it is required really to be successful. And let's not forget, last season, despite the record the team finished with, Derek Carr put up really good numbers.
Right.
You know, I know at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if they didn't, right. if it didn't culminate in a postseason, you know, appearance. And beyond that, then it's irrelevant. But it isn't, because I think context matters. And I think especially with all of the judgment that he's taken on, all of the criticism that he's taken on, we know Derek Carr to be a nice guy, all of this stuff, but he's also very competitive. So I see him coming in with an even a bigger chip this year, especially, you know, in a time like this, where the franchise has moved to a completely new city, brand new stadium, and where people really, really just want to see good football. That's exactly what he's going to want to deliver. So, and he knows that this is a year where, you know, it's either it's playoffs or bust at this point.
Right. I agree 100%. And you mentioned a new city. They're in Vegas. They're opening up Allegiant Stadium. It looks amazing. They've added a lot to the roster. How exciting do you think this first year, if it goes off without any issues, how exciting do you think the first year in Vegas can be?
I mean, regardless, it's going to be exciting because, first of all, it's Vegas. Like, right. I mean, I don't think you need to give people a reason to go there or to get hype about it. but especially with the franchise, with the history and the gravitas that the Raiders have, I think it was if there was going to be another city for them to go, I hate to see them leave Oakland, but like Vegas fits, you know?
Right.
So it's going to be really cool. And of course, a brand new stadium. It's a shiny new toy. Like, who doesn't want to see that? How many of us will get to? That's another question.
Right. That's a good question. I've been wondering, I don't know if you've heard any kind of answers, but I don't think that we're going to be able, as media people, I don't think we're going to be able to cover sports like we've been able to. I think we're going to be very limited. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't heard anything. So I'm just here like, hey guys, whenever you want to let me know. But you know, it's I think each team, I think they're also looking to see how the NBA and the MLB handle it with their abbreviated seasons or altered seasons, to see what works and what didn't. So the NFL does have the advantage of sort of seeing what the precedent is in a time of pandemic covering sports. But I mean, I can't imagine that it's going to be anywhere near what it was before, you know, like it's going to be real tough to get a credential.
Yes.
And it's going to be, it has to be limited just for everybody's health and safety. So, I mean, get real comfy with your Zoom, get you a good ring light, make sure that everything looks good on your end of the screen. Cause that's what I see happening at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, exactly. Don't let your Wi-Fi go out. <You
know? laughs> Right.
That is necessary. Final question for you. I've been talking to MJ Acosta from NFL Network at MJ Acosta on TV on Twitter. Excuse me. Jamal Adams. I got to ask you about Jamal Adams. He wants out of New York. He's a heck of a player. One of the best safeties in the league. What's your gut feeling? Where do you think he ends up playing in New York in 2020? Is it with the Jets or do you think it's with another team?
Just the way that things have been going, I'd be surprised if he remains with the Jets. Can you imagine him in silver and black?
Yes.
Just his, his personality, his style of play, his gritty. I mean, it would be wild.
Yes.
It would be wild. Well, I don't think he stays there, no.
I've been pounding the table for the Raiders. I swear, I've been saying that Mike Mayock needs to call the Jets and say, hey, I got a first and a third, and that's what I got. And if they take it, cool. And if they don't, that's fine. But I think a first and a third for Jamal Adams would put that Raider defense over the top.
And it's what they need. I mean, we know they still have to kind of bring together that secondary as well. So it would be crazy.
Exactly. I'm glad to know you're on board with me and we're on the same page with that one. That's MJ Acosta from NFL Network. Does a great job covering the whole league like a glove. It's always great to catch up with her at MJ Acosta TV on Twitter. Thank you so much for your time. Tell your fiance next time you talk to him that we thank him as a nation, Raider Nation and a country for all his work. And I appreciate you as always.
Thank you so much, Q. Always a pleasure.
So there it was right there, Raider Nation. That was my conversation with MJ Acosta from NFL Network. Hopefully you enjoyed that. It's always good to catch up with her. And I'll tell you, man, you want to talk about someone who's real deal, cool, like the other side of the pillow, man. MJ Acosta, I met her at the Super Bowl opening night in Atlanta. That was a couple years ago. That was when the Patriots played the Rams in the Super Bowl. And it was really, really cold at that time. It wasn't supposed to be that cold, but man, Atlanta was ice cold and we were staying in the hood. For any new booties who hasn't listened to me that long, we were staying in the hood, man. We were staying in Bankhead. That was not where we should have been staying at, but we were. But either way, man, I met MJ Acosta there Monday night. It was opening night, and she just did an interview with me right then and there, just no doubt about it. And she has been A1 since day one. I mean, really, I mean, no doubt about it. She has blown up really in a major, major way. She's all of a sudden covering everything and been a part of everything, but she has been so super cool. Anytime I reach out to her and she has time, she'll definitely join and hop on the show and hop on the podcast. She's talked to me many times. Like, I listen to the podcast all the time, Q. You know what I mean? So I think that's really, really cool. She's really super cool. So if you get an opportunity, man, reach out to her by way of Twitter at MJ Acosta TV and let her know that, hey man, I heard your interview on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you. Appreciate you. Salute to her and her, fiance. I think that's awesome. You know, they've been together for a very long time, and you know, being able to represent the country like he does, and you know, she's has her trials and tribulations that she's gone through, and she's really overcome them. So I think that she's a super, super cool person, very knowledgeable of the game of football, and just like I said, a super cool person. So definitely show MJ some love, and I appreciate her for being able to share a few minutes and give me a few minutes of her time to be on the podcast. So that's all I got for this segment. Coming up next, your calls, your texts, and a tweet. Straight out that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. And also on Twitter, at your boy Q254. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your time to shine, your calls, your texts, and even a tweet. Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, that number, 707-654-4693. And, of course, if you're going to tweet me and send a direct message, at your boy Q, 254. I appreciate the follows, and I always appreciate any kind of tweet, any kind of message you send me. It is all good in the hood. Matter of fact, let's start off with a tweet. First one is from Philip Hawkins. He says, "Hello, Q. This is Teacher Raider, and I'm a..." Wait, hold on. Hold on. Let me back that up. Hold on. First tweet is from Philip Hawkins, and before I get into it, I got to hit the alarm one time. Because Philip Hawkins is a new booty. He says, "Hello, Q. This is Teacher Raider, and I'm a new booty. I've been teaching children for the past 25 years, and I've always told my kiddos to speak up. That is your First Amendment right. As a country, we're not perfect, and with each generation, we've become better. The Raiders Nation stands with you in giving ESPN Central Texas the business. You don't have to agree with the organization, Black Lives Matter, to be able to say that Black Lives Matter, because they absolutely do matter. You are being brave to speak out, and you are doing it all for the right reasons. It is for your son and their children thereafter. I hope all is ironed out with the station and ESPN Central Texas. They need you, and so does the nation. Happy birthday, America. Peace, Raider Teacher." Again, Philip Hawkins, a.k.a. Raider Teacher. Thank you so much for that tweet, my man. I appreciate you. And he tweeted me, at your boy Q254. And, you're right. You know, sometimes you got to speak up. And, you know, on the show on Thursday on ESPN Central Texas, I actually talked about Maya Moore and what she's done, you know, and the fact that she walked away from the WNBA and, you know, one of the best athletes at the peak of her career. And she turned her life over to doing some social justice. And maybe, you know, she goes back to the WNBA at some point. But my gut feeling tells me that she found a bigger purpose in life. Sometimes when you have a platform, you need to use it, and you don't know why you have that platform. I have goals in my life. I have a lot of things in my life I want to do, but I've been given a platform. I've been given a voice. Somehow I've been able to make it work. And so I don't know what the end result is. I don't know exactly why God has given me this opportunity to do what it is. So maybe I end up going into some kind of conversation or end up being able to be a dude who speaks on something that's on a whole nother level and really impacting people way bigger than sports. I don't know. All I can do is say, hey, I'm here. Use me. So when I feel the need to speak on some things, I'm going to speak on some things. And I don't mind people disagreeing with me. I know a lot of people don't like the organization Black Lives Matter. And that's why I said, I believe on Monday, that regardless how you feel about the organization, I'm talking about just the saying Black Lives Matter. Because like you said, Teacher Raider, Black Lives Matter. That's the conversation I'm having right now. I'm not talking about an organization. I know people are like, oh, that's a terrible group. I'm not talking about a group. It's not a movement. I'm not talking about no movement. I'm talking about, for me and mine, Black lives absolutely do matter. So thank you so much for that tweet. I'm glad that you were able to pick up on that and understand exactly where I was coming from. Next up is a call from T3 Raider Facts, calling in with his five quick hits of the day. He's talking about Mark Davis, talking about Paul Gunther, the defense, Jamal Adams, Cam Newton, and Al Davis's birthday. Here he is, T3 Raider Facts.
This is T3 Raider Facts, my five quick hits of the day. Number one, the fact that Mark Davis was the sole dissenter on a vote to pull the prime seats at NFL stadiums in favor of advertising is really a tribute to the old Al Davis way. Al did not conform to the herd mentality. He used his own brain and his own rationale to make decisions. It ruffled feathers, sure, but I think it helped build the aura and the mystique of the Raiders as we know it. Number two, Big O from the AC. I want to welcome you into the family, and I will say this about Paul Gunther. When I think back to the game against San Francisco a couple of years ago when the Raiders got whacked, I was calling for his head. I don't think he's on the hot seat necessarily this year, but I do believe two things are in place which he didn't have: a quality linebacking core and a little bit of heat on his backside in the form of Rod Marinelli. Let's see what happens. Number three, Riverview Raider. Let me say this. I would love to get Jamal Adams, but I want to protect the picks we have. And the main reason is that I strongly believe that the Raiders will need to draft a quarterback in either round one or two next year. The foundation is being built, but we can't put ourselves in the same position we were in 2011 and 2012. The times are changing, but we have to keep momentum building. I'm not sure that Jamal Adams is the piece that the Raiders need, though I could be wrong. But when the dust settles, he's either staying with the Jets or ending up with a team who's going to pony up a lot to get a really good player. Brady and the Bucks, possibly. Number four, Cam Newton will start game one for the Patriots this year. At least that's what I'm predicting. Maybe Belichick can squeeze the last bit of sweet juice out of him, but they cannot rely on his legs, and they better protect him up front. Either way, Stidham better be ready, because I think Cam might go down early to injury, and that'll be the Pats right back where they were months ago. New England is another team that's going to have to dip into the draft next year to grab a QB. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see them get Trey Lance, the quarterback out of North Dakota State. Keep an eye on that young man. Number five, raise a glass to Al Davis on Saturday to what would have been his 91st birthday. If you drink, well, grab whatever you like. If you don't drink, raise a Diet Pepsi, because that's what his was his go-to. Either way, make sure you wear your colors. I know I'm going to be repping the shield. That's just how I roll. Stay safe, Raider Nation. Have a wonderful weekend. Patriotism, pride, poise, excellence, and the will to win, all wrapped up in a celebration of our country. One committed to the principle that all men and women are created equal. Stay passionate, because passion always outlives fashion.
T3, thank you for that call, my man. I appreciate you. And, yeah, I mean, you've echoed kind of a lot of the things that I've been saying as well. And so, yeah, I appreciate your comments. And I think that you're, you know, you're onto something. Like I said, I think that we're kind of on the same page, something that I pretty much said as well. And thank you. Like I said, thank you for chiming in and just kind of wrapping that up for me. Good stuff right there. Next up is a text at 707-654-4693 from Neil. And before I talk about Neil and tell you his text, got to hit the alarm one time, because Neil is a new booty. He said, hey, my name is Neil. I am behind on my podcast, so I just heard segment 2 from Monday. Good for you for saying what needed to be said. I hope people listen. I live in Sacramento and could not be happier that the Kings TV play-by-play man got fired for this kind of blank. I hope that dude from the country station got his ass fired. He deserves it. Sorry your station wasn't standing behind him from the beginning. Sorry, I'm a lazy blind man and I use Siri to do all this. That was supposed to say, sorry your station was not standing behind you from the beginning, because they should have been. That's from Neil, the new booty. And Neil, thank you so much. And no, he didn't get fired. And honestly, I kind of mentioned this on Thursday. I really didn't want him to get fired, because I don't think that that's going to make him open his eyes and be like, you know what? I do need to think about things before I talk, or I need to, you know, open up my eyes and realize that, you know, all people should be created equal and we should all be on the same level playing field. And maybe I'm being foolish. Maybe I fell for a banana in the tailpipe, but I just think that everyone needs the work, especially in this pandemic right now. So if I say, hey, man, look, and this is what I told him, I just want you to know why it was so messed up what you said. I want you to sincerely understand that you were way wrong and it was way bad. And if you sincerely believe that and you are really honestly 100% apologetic, then I'm fine with that. Now, again, he could have been just blowing smoke up my tail's back or my backside just to keep his job. That's a very strong possibility. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because people will always show their colors. You know what I mean? Tigers don't change their stripes. If that's how he is and he's not going to get it and he thinks he pulled the wool over me, he'll come back and get him in the long run. I was very forgiving. I was very understanding, and I took his word for it. So hopefully it's all good. But again, it's not necessarily going to be all good. It'll be up to him, and he will show his true colors sooner rather than later. So, I mean, it's just everything always comes out, man. What's done in the dark always comes out in the light. You know, I mean, it just is what it is. So thank you so much for that. And I appreciate you, man, being a new member of the Locked On Raider podcast family. Thank you for chiming in on the Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line. That was awesome. And hopefully we hear from you more often. And don't worry about it, man. Hey, if Siri don't type it out right, that's all right. I'll figure it out. It's all good. That's funny. I just said Siri and my phone lit up like, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to be looking at. Man, our phones are too damn smart, right? Right now, no joke, on my phone it says, hey, Siri, don't type it out right now. That's why I figured it out. It's okay. Funny, said Siri and my phone. It's like, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to be today, or smart and her father today. This thing is out of there, but it does say to grow a bigger booty. Damn, everything I just repeated. Woo! Good night, Siri.
Good night.
There it is. Done deal. Siri's out of there. Next up, I got a call from my guy Nico in North Jersey. He's calling to respond to my conversation I had about the D-line on Thursday and what points he'd like to add to that conversation. Here he is, Nico in North Jersey.
Yo, Q, Raider Nation. It's your boy Nico from North Jersey. Q, I just listened to your Thursday podcast about the D-line. I agree with a lot you're saying. I do believe that the key this year to our D-line, other than Marinelli, who has been around the game for forever, is our ability to be able to rotate the D-tackles and the D-ends. We got four guys at each position for the D-tackles, with a rotation of, you know, Malik Collins, Mo Hurst, Hankins, and P.J. Hall. That's four guys that you could just rotate in. You know, it would be fresh legs. And same with the DNs. You know, we obviously got Max, Cleland, Nass, and Arden Key. That's another four guys. Obviously, like you said in your podcast, that he's going to be really on Arden Key and PJ Hall. But they're the fourth guy in that rotation. So to be able to just throw defensive linemen at you, different looks, different downs, that's going to be something we've never had, at least as long as I've been watching the Raiders. You know, it kind of reminds me of that Giant team, you know, with Strahan and Tuck and Umanyora. They were just constantly rotating guys, and that really is what took the Patriots down, you know. So I think that's going to be huge for our defensive success. Obviously, we have upgrades at each level of defense. You know, Mo Collins and Nassib on the D-line. Obviously, Kwiatkowski and Littleton at the linebackers. And then, you know, Prince Amukamara for a corner. Randall, safety. Abram. Nobody's talking about Abram. They're talking about Abram like we had him last year. He played one game. So as far as I'm concerned, he's a new addition this year. So I think our defense is really primed to take a huge step, but it definitely all starts with that D-line. And I think it's going to be very good to have that rotation component where you could just rotate guys in so they're not too tired, and just different looks and different skill sets and everything. So I like that podcast you had today about the D-line. Keep it going. You know, do the linebackers, do the D-backs and stuff. We don't have to talk much about the offense because it's the same thing. Again, 95% are returning. You know, so let's talk about this defense. Let's focus on this defense because this defense is what's really going to propel us this year. I think our offense is going to take another stride, obviously, another year in the system. But let's talk about this defense, guys. Let's go, baby. It's July. We got one more month. And then we got football, boys. Let's go.
I like that. Fired up, Nico, right there in North Jersey. And thank you so much for your call, my man. It's good to hear from you. And your point's very valid, man. The depth is going to be needed on that defensive line. It's going to be nice to see them rotate guys and have some fresh legs. You hit it right on the head. And I think that was really the point of that conversation, man, is I think that the defensive line is going to be a lot better than it was in 2019 for all the reasons that you just point out, you know. And it's funny you said that a lot of people aren't talking about Jonathan Abram. I feel like a lot of people are talking about him, but they're talking about him in a way like they expect him to be a Pro Bowler. And like you mentioned, he only played one game. I'm not sold on what he's going to do only because he played in that one game. I'm just not sold. I know what Josh Jacobs is going to be because we saw him. I feel like I have a good idea on what Trayvon Mullen is going to do because we saw him. I know who Max Crosby is going to be because we saw him. Clelin Ferrell, I saw him. I didn't see enough of Jonathan Abram. So I'm not sure that he's going to be, you know, this Pro Bowler that a lot of people expect him to be. He might. Then again, he might not. You know what I mean? He could be a great player, or he might end up being Michael Huff and just being an okay player. And that's no disrespect to Michael Huff, but he never lived up to where he was drafted at. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens. I'm hoping for the best, but again, it's a wait-and-see approach when it comes to Jonathan Abram. Thank you so much for that call, my man. And we'll definitely break down more positions and talk about more positions moving forward. Like you said, we got about a little less than a month until training camp starts. Final call for today's show comes from Rahul in Seattle, calling in to talk about the red zone targets. Matter of fact, it's a conversation he heard me talking about on the Silver and Black Today show with my man, Scott Goldbranson. So here he is, Rahul in Seattle.
Hey, what's up, Q? Rahul from Seattle. I heard you on the Silver and Black Today show talking about red zone targets. And I think we need to look at Ruggs as a big, big red zone target because of his big hands and his amazing hops. And this is a guy who, because of his speed, he can make a DB fearful of a couple things. And then because of his hops, he can do other things and ultimately his hands. So I think Ruggs will be a big red zone target. Sure, we have the traditional ones like Waller, TW, and then hopefully Bryan Edwards with their big size and, the fight for the ball and those kinds of things. But Ruggs is definitely a red zone threat. Even in short quarters, I think he can also run that play where you have the guy sprinting in motion from one side of the field to the other, and then you snap the ball, and it's basically a race between him and the DB to the corner, to the pylon. And I think that'll be another play that Ruggs can really, really exploit. And then one red zone threat that I think will get more play is going to be Renfro. He's a guy who is really, really good in the scramble drill, and just a guy that he and Carr seem to be able to just kind of know where he doesn't supposed to be when the play breaks down. So I think we'll be a lot better in the red zone in 2020. One love.
There he is right there, Rahul from Seattle. Thank you for your call, my man. And Ruggs and Renfro, those are the two guys that you're pointing out. And Look, I don't disagree. For every reason you mentioned, I don't disagree. I've talked about Renfro multiple times. I think he's going to be really a big-time red zone target because he kind of does a scramble drill, like you mentioned, just finds a way to get open. He finds a open spot in the zone, and he sits down in it. So I believe he'll be able to do that. He did a lot of that in Clemson. You saw what he was able to do with Derek Carr in 2019, his rookie year. I think that Hunter Renfro is going to be very, very critical for the success of the Raiders. I think it's going to be more. I think you're going to start to see more quality catches than quantity catches. Towards the end of the season, it was like Hunter Renfro, Hunter Renfro, Hunter Renfro. Like all the balls were going his way because they just didn't have anybody. But now that they have more weapons, I believe it's going to be a lot more quality over quantity, just like I thought it would be in his rookie year. But yeah, Ruggs could be a monster. I mean, he could be with, you know, the way he has the ability to go up and get the ball, the 50-50 ball, and he has those big hands and he has sure hands. He could end up being that guy. I just feel like some of the bigger bodies are going to be relied upon a little bit more, like the Darren Wallers, the Brian Edwards, the Tyrell Williams, guys like that. And, you know, obviously the running backs, the fullback. Somebody pointed out to me on Twitter that John Simpson, you know, he actually carried the rock and got a touchdown run with Clemson. Maybe that's a wrinkle John Gruden puts into his offense. Pretty interesting. And like I said, it's something that was pointed out to me on Twitter. I did not come up on that with my own self. I mean, that was, like I said, pointed out to me. So maybe it really could be something. So anyway, that's what I got for you for today. That's what I got for you for the week. I normally don't do a Saturday show, but tomorrow is the late, great Al Davis's birthday. And just like T3 pointed out earlier. And so I'm going to do a throwback Thursday type show, but it's on Saturday. So, you know, I don't know, send it back Saturday. Maybe that's what we're calling it. But I talked to John Kingdon, who is a co-author of Behind the Shield, the story about Al Davis. Really, really good story about Al Davis. I did this interview in 2019. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run it back. So it'll be ready for you on tomorrow. It'll be ready for you Saturday. If you get that opportunity, make sure you go check it out, especially for the new booties who haven't heard it already. It's a really good conversation. I didn't do it on the equipment that I use at the house now, the really, really good clear equipment. It's a little bit muffled, not a little bit muffled. It's just it's a different quality sound, and you'll hear it tomorrow. But either way, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. It's all, the whole show is just myself and John Kingdon, so I think you'll enjoy it. If you get that opportunity, maybe you're at the house cooking up some meat on the grill or something, you want to hear something, go ahead and check out your boy, because I'll have that show for you tomorrow in celebration of Al Davis's birthday. So that's going to do it for me. It's going to do it for this week, this Monday through Friday. Again, tune in on Saturday if you get that opportunity. If not, maybe you'll hear it on Monday. Either way, it's all good. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Be safe, and be safe some more. And we'll do this again on Monday. Until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.